Our text for this morning is a portion of the gospel lesson read just a moment ago from the 8th chapter of Mark, the beginning at the 27th verse, at the start of that pericope. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus is, if nothing else, many things to many people. We hear it from time to time, even from individuals of other faiths, of other religions. They all seem to know about Jesus. They all seem to have formed opinions about him. Some opinions are favorable, some are not favorable. But Jesus is many things to many people indeed. For those who at least somewhat believe in him, Jesus is a healer, and they will be the first ones to cite the many miracles that he performed in the pages of the Gospels. For others, he is a great moral teacher, and this is where people of other faiths will often lend credence to Jesus. They will admit that his teachings contained in the pages of the scriptures are great morally and ethically, as good as, if not better than, some of the great moral philosophers and teachers of their own particular faiths. We should listen to Jesus, they say, because Jesus has a lot of good to say about how we treat one another and how to make our way in this life. For others, Jesus is an insurance policy. He's an insurance policy of many different kinds. He's an insurance policy for success. Believe in Jesus Christ and he will grant success to your every endeavor. For others, Jesus is an insurance policy against catastrophe and crisis. Believe in Jesus Christ and these things shall not befall you. And if they do, you better check your faith somewhere along the line. Yeah, Jesus becomes for them nothing more than an insurance policy of some kind. And then there are those of other faiths who aren't so favorable to Jesus, but who certainly have developed an opinion about him. For some, he is a nuisance, or more correctly put, for them, was a nuisance. And when he died, it was good riddance to him. For others, he was simply a magician of some kind. Someone who was able to do tricks, but who in the end caused nothing but trouble. Yes, Jesus is many things to many people. And I suppose that that's really no different than what things were like in his own day. Because in our text before us, Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Who do people say I am anyway? What are they saying about me out there?" And the disciples rattle off at least three differing opinions about who Jesus is. And of course, who they believe he is has implications for what they believe he is to be doing or should be doing. The disciples tell him, "Some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead." That was Herod's problem, you know. He thought Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Herod's the one who had John's head cut off. And therefore, John the Baptist, he's in the same vein as John the Baptist, an individual who is preaching repentance to everybody, calling everybody names even, coming down hard on people. Some say you're John the Baptist. Others, the disciples tell him, say you're Elijah. Now, Elijah, of course, in the Jewish tradition of the Seder meal and the like, Elijah was believed by the ancient Jews and the Jews of today, I believe, he was going to come again and be the forerunner for the Messiah when the Messiah comes. Elijah was going to reappear, that great prophet of old, and was going to prepare the way for the coming of the Christ. Jesus elsewhere in the Gospels identifies John the Baptist as that Elijah. But there were some people in Jesus' day who said that Jesus himself was this one who was to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Others, the disciples say you're one of the prophets. Jesus was once asked, are you the prophet? Because there was a belief if it wasn't Elijah that was going to appear, one of the prophets of old was going to appear just before the Messiah came on the scene and was going to prepare things for him in whatever way he was to prepare them. And then, of course, for the religious elite of Jesus' day, the Pharisee, the scribes, the chief priests, Jesus was indeed nothing but a troublemaker. Someone who was always rousing the crowds in defiance of the temple, of the established religious tradition, and indeed of the governing body of the Jewish people. Jesus is many things to many people. And Jesus heard that from his disciples. And then Jesus asked them a very pointed question, as you heard. Okay, that's fine. That's what they're saying about me out there. That's what they believe. They believe I'm a healer. They believe I'm a great moral teacher. They believe I'm some kind of insurance policy for them. Who do you say I am? Spoken to his disciples originally back in his day, spoken to you and to me today, who do you say I am? Who am I to you? What are you looking for when you look to me? Are you looking only for healing? Are you looking only for morals and ethics? Are you looking to me only as some kind of an insurance policy against crisis or an insurance on the positive side for some kind of success? Who do you say I am? And we, of course, being brought up in the church our whole lives, we reply with the disciples, with Peter, well, you're the Christ. You're the coming one. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. And Jesus tells them to tell no one. Almost as if he says, Savior from what? From ill health? From bad morals? From crisis? I don't want you telling anybody who I am until you get it right. And it's interesting, isn't it, that immediately Mark tells us Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and the third day rise again. Peter, you're right. I am the Christ. Members of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, you're right. I am the Christ. But please understand what my messiahship is composed of. There is one thing, you see. We might be able to straighten your morals out. We might be able to stop certain catastrophes from happening to you. We might even be able to heal that tumor that's been bothering you for years and growing inside of you. But there's one thing, you see, about which you will never, ever, ever, ever be able to do anything. And that is death. You're not going to be able to stop it. The absolute best you can do is put it off for a while. Sin exists, or death exists because of sin. There's the problem. And you see, it is as if Jesus says, "My Father wishes to spend eternity with each one of you." And he knew that if he did not take care of this problem of sin and death, that would never happen. And you see, that's why I've come. All of these other things aside that I am able to do mean nothing if sin and death is not taken care of, is not defeated. If a pathway is not made through death into my Father's house, that is why I came. I have come as your Savior from sin. I have come as your hope through that Saviorhood from sin in death itself. And I will rise again as proof that sin and death are indeed defeated. That's what I want you to tell people. There's a lot of teachings floating around out there about Jesus. And just because the name Jesus is used, or just because some biblical phrase is used next to his name, does not mean it is what our Lord wishes to have spoken about him. I have come to pay for sin, to give you hope in the face of death, to give you life in the face of death. This is my Saviorhood. This is my Messiahship. And this is what my disciples will tell others about me. Amen.